وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى shower his choicest blessings on you. آمين. الحمد لله. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما زاغ البصر وما طغى لقد رأى من آيات ربه الكبرى. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, the unbelievers and the polytheists of Taif had tried to belittle and demean Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every way possible, and they imposed the harshest forms of persecution on him. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded with absolute patience and forbearance, so much so that the angels deputed over the mountains were disturbed by the people's treatment and requested his permission to destroy the entire city, but he did not permit them. Allah Ta'ala bestowed his grace and favor to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in return for whatever he experienced by conferring him with Mi'raj. This was actually a conferring of honor, respect, and a lofty position to him which was not conferred to even the closest angels. This is the bounty of Allah Ta'ala, which He confers on whomsoever He wills. So the year of the Mi'raj holds a distinctive position in Islamic history. The pride of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was bestowed with an honorary reception, which was his peculiarity from amongst the entire group of Anbiya. And the gist of the story is as follows. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying down in the Hatim of the Kaaba one night when Jibreel alayhi salam came to him and asked him to go with them. He was made to mount the Buraq, which was so swift that its leg would stretch out as far as his eyes could see. He was taken to Sham, to Masjid al-Aqsa. Allah Ta'ala gathered all the other Anbiya alayhi salam as a way of honoring Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel alayhi salam called out the Adhan, and the rows of the prophets and messengers were arranged, but all were waiting for the Imam to lead them. So Jibreel alayhi salam led Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the hand and took him forward. So Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the imamate of all the Anbiya's in Salat. Now Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi says that some scholars are of the opinion that this incident occurred concerning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leading the prophets in Salat. It took place before he could go up to the heavens. But it seems more obvious that it occurred upon his return, because while he was going up, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam introduced him to each of the prophets. Had this salat been performed first, there would have been no need to introduce them to him. Furthermore, the actual purpose of the journey was for him to go to Allah Ta'ala, to Jannatul Ma'ala, and to the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it seemed more appropriate to fulfill this purpose first. Once the actual purpose was fulfilled, all the prophets accompanied him to Baytul Maqdis, and Jibreel alayhi salam instructed him to lead them in salah, and thereby his superiority over them all was practically demonstrated. This explanation is given in the Ma'ariful Quran. So, till this point, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed that stage of his journey, which was in this world on the Buraq. He was then taken from Masjid Al-Aqsa to the heavens. So some scholars feel that he was also taken on the Buraq to the heavens, but it is gauged from authentic hadith that this journey was not on the Buraq, but a physical ascension. There was a ladder which was known as Rifraf, studded with diamonds, rubies, and pearls. Anyway, the word Miraj refers to a flight of stairs or ladder. There are numerous types of ladders in today's time. A lift is also included among them and could also be called a ladder. What was the nature of the ladder which conveyed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the heavens? This is known to Allah Ta'ala alone. It is not mentioned in any narration. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam met Hazrat Adam alaihi salam on the first heaven, Isa alaihi salam on the second heaven, Yusuf alaihi salam on the third heaven, Idris alaihi salam on the fourth heaven, Harun alayhi salam on the fifth heaven, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam on the sixth, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam on the seventh, who was resting against Baytul Ma'mur, the Kaaba in the skies. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then proceeded towards the Sidratul Muntaha. He passed the Holy Kawthar on the way. He entered paradise and saw the unique manifestation of Allah's power, which no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard of, and which never crossed the mind of any human being. Hell, which was filled with every type of severe punishment, was then brought before him. Solid things like steel and rocks were absolutely insignificant before the different torments of hell. He saw a group of people eating corpses. When he asked about their identity, Jibreel alayhi salam said, "They are the ones who backbite." The doors of hell were then closed. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded further, and Jibreel alayhi salam stayed back because he was not to go beyond that point. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Allah. The correct opinion is that this meeting was not merely with his heart, but a physical meeting. This is the opinion of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. All the eminent sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and all the imams also, they accept this version. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam fell into prostration and had the honor of speaking with Allah Ta'ala. This was the time when the salahs were made fard. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then returned, mounted the buraq, and returned to Makkah Mu'azzama. On the way, he passed by three trade caravans of the Quraysh at different places. He offered salam to some of them, and they recognized his voice. They gave testimony to this on their return to Makkah. This journey was completed before dawn. Now, Mufakkiri Islam Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Abul Hassan Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali, in his book Nabiyyar Rahma, also mentions this story, and we'll relate it. After this journey to Taif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced a mi'raj. By the power of Allah Ta'ala, he was taken at night from Masjid al-Haram and conveyed to Masjid al-Aqsa. From there, he experienced the special places of close proximity to Allah Ta'ala in the seven heavens, and he was made to see the signs and met the Prophet alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala says with regard to all this, مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا تَغَى لَقَدْ رَآ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى. The sight never swayed, never went astray, nor did it go beyond the limit. Without doubt, he saw some of the great signs of his Lord. This was a hospitality and conferring of honor to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Allah Ta'ala. It was done to console and comfort him and to make up for the humiliation, ingratitude, and disloyalty which he experienced from the people of Taif and the tough tribulation which he experienced at their hands. The next morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related the incident of Mi'raj to the people. The Quraysh expressed bewilderment and labeled it an impossible thing. They belied him and mocked at him. On hearing it, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, "If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it, it has to be true. Why are you surprised? By Allah, revelation comes to him from the heavens by day and night, and I believe it. It is more difficult than what you are expressing surprise at all. The incident of Mi'raj makes a clear proclamation that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is totally unlike the ethnic and political leaders whose efforts are restricted to their country or ethnic groups. Only the groups and places which are connected to them derive benefit from them, and their influence remains only on the environment in which they were born. The group which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is connected to is a group of Allah's prophets and messengers who convey the message from the heavens to those on earth, from the Creator, from the Khaliq to the Makhluk, from the Creator to the creation. The entire human race, notwithstanding its era, history, color, lineage, country and nation, are honored and privileged by them, and their fortunes change for the better. So on this occasion, Allah Ta'ala made 50 times salah compulsory on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers. He continued requesting a reduction when he met Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, who said that my ummah could not manage that until Allah Ta'ala reduced the number to 5 in a day. And he announced, the person who performs the 5 salahs with iman and expectation of reward shall receive the reward of 50 salahs. And this is mentioned by the mashayikh that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when he made a request to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Rabbi, arini anzur ilayk. Oh Allah, you know, if you can expose yourself, I would like to see you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, lan tarani, you will not be able to see me. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's falamma tajalla, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's manifestations of his nur, you know, felt on Mount Tur, then Kharra Musa Sa'iqa, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam fell down unconscious, and the whole mountain rumbled, and it was like the bottom area of the mountain also rose to get a portion of the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was unable to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah ta'ala told him, lan tarani, you will not be able to see me. So now when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, went on the journey for Mi'raj and he got the order of 50 salats, and when he came, he met Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and then he went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the number was reduced, and he came back, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam told him, that also your ummah won't manage, and then he went back again and he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in going up and down numerous times, it was as though Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was saying, I could not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me get the glimpse of the nur of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mubarak face. You know, they saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And over and over again, let me get the bliss of this tajalli and the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the face, the beloved face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, Salah is one ibadat, unlike the other ibadats that the laws were proclaimed and given. The wahi came down regarding those laws, the compulsion of the various acts in this world and in this earthly abode. But the order for Salah came down from the heavens, from the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person reads his Salah with absolute devotion, then he will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the closeness and the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ummah at this critical juncture should make salah a priority in their lives. And all of us must pay a great attention to salah because it is a gift that was brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the occasion of Mi'raj for him from his ummah. If we disregard salah, it will be as though we are saying, this gift that you brought for us, we fling it back to you. It's not worthy of our acceptance. Na'udhu billah min zalik. Imagine you buy an expensive toy for your child, and it's only of material benefit some way for a little while, and the child flings it back into your face and he says, I don't want it. How will the father feel? In the very, very same way, how will Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam feel? Although not with our tongues, but with our physical actions, we are flinging back the salah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let us create constancy in salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.